Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello. What can I say? Ilona Europa, Accent On, Monday. I always repeat it because I want people to remember that we are only on Mondays. And I'm very excited to talk to everybody today. And hopefully people will enjoy our interview, as we will be having very, very sweet guest who was a few months ago in our studio. Her name is Liz Scott. Hi, Liz. Are you there?
Yes, hi Lerna, I'm here.
I just, I almost told the whole world your Skype name, but probably I'm not supposed to do that. But anyway, you have very cute Skype name, and this is very exciting to talk to you, because somehow, somewhere, feels like you're supposed to be next to me. Sunday we were having great, great long conversation, and I will talk about this too with you. But I would love to introduce one more guest who is with us in the studio. Can you hear me, Natalia, close to the microphone?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Can you hear me? Yes, okay, because this is fourth mic. Good. Natalia Matusik. Close to the microphone, much closer. And what can I say? Two powerful girls, or three, because I think I'm almost very, feel like I'm a very powerful person, and I'm fighting my world by myself, and I'm enjoying the woman power. And then we have Liz Scott, who, oh my gosh, this girl is putting some great competition that whole world will know very, very much about. And then I have my beautiful, wonderful, almost co-host for today, because she will be having, I think from September, we'll be doing a segment with Natalia, and her, she will be our consultant, she will be our teacher, she will be our legal advisor, she will be somebody that will teach us how to resolve our mostly family problems, legal family problems, and how to find her, how to just talk to her if we have issues. And trust me, people, I had a lot of issues, and one she already resolved. Then I'm very, very happy for that. It took her one letter, and hopefully my life will be much easier because of her intervention. That I can say, Natalia Matusik. I'm saying Polish way, but she will spell her name again after we will talk and listen to the music, and especially talk with Liz Scott. Then, Natalia, you can relax for a few minutes, okay?
Thank you.
Okay. And because her conversation will be pretty serious. And now let's talk a little bit music, songs, entertainment, competition, friendships, international accents, all of these things that Ilona Europa and Liz Scott, who originally is from Australia, we just love this life. Yes?
Oh, we do. It's very, very exciting. Always very exciting.
Yes. Okay. Because you are calling here for a very, very important reason. Could you explain, because not everybody remembers, what is the competition, singing and songwriting competition? Tell us, just rewind the topic and just set us up from the beginning to the end, that everybody understand what we'll be talking about today.
Okay, so this is a competition that myself and my husband Sam Michaels from Club Jumpers came up with about 3 years ago. We titled it Sam actually came up with the title for Your Music Out Loud. So he came up with it. So it's called Your Music Out Loud in the USA Song Competition, and it's really designed for unsigned artists to enter. And basically the prize is what we've done in the past has been a trip. Last year was LA. This year the trips, the winner from last year comes to New York, and then the winner from this year will go to Nashville next year. and you basically submit your song demo. It can be produced, it can be rough, it can just be acoustic, and send that into our website, which is the Club Jumper website, www.clubjumpersmusic.com with the K. And yeah, you'll see all the information at the top. Again, you look for the Your Music Out Loud in the USA Song Competition 2017, and you'll see all the prizes. There's so many prizes this year. Like I said, this year the winner will win an all-expenses-paid trip to Nashville to have their winning song recorded in the studio of multi-award-winning music producer Gary Earle. And not only that, they'll also get to perform at a top Nashville venue. And they will also get a TV guest appearance. And then they'll also have their song produced by Sam Michaels from Club Jumpers. There'll be a promotion campaign. And just added in on the prizes, they will also have a one-hour consulting session with Nashville Unsigned. So that's just the grand prize. And we have so many runner-up prizes, which are amazing. We have a custom handmade boutique guitar donated by Anestis from Rebel Guitars. So one lucky runner-up, we get to pick an incredible guitar. We have vocal lessons from Nashville top vocal coach Robin Earle. We have mentorship sessions with one of the top music supervisor publishing houses in Nashville, Liz Rogers. We have a songwriting mentorship with Alan Roy Scott. We have a co-writing session with a multi-platinum country artist from Sweden, Michael Hicks. We have a Tennessee Songwriters Association International Year membership. We have, what else have we got? And then, because we have different categories this year. Obviously, the main category is for singer-songwriters. We also have a lyric-only category, so lyricists that want to just submit their lyrics, and that first prize is a mentorship session with a lady called Cherie Spalter, who is the president of Nashville Global Songwriters Connection. Plus, they'll receive a one-year membership with the Global Songwriter Connection. Plus, there will be a cash prize. Then we have a non-performing category. So this is for songwriters that they like to write, but they don't really want to perform their songs. And that is also the prize is a songwriting demo, also produced by Gary Earle, a second production also by Sam Michaels from Club Jumpers, but it will be recorded by one of the top professional Nashville demo singers and presented to publishers to try to get that songwriter signed. And then we have a Young Achievers Award, which is for 14 years and under, and that will be $500 cash. So wow. We have many, many prizes this
Liz,
year.
Liz, oh my gosh, Liz. I remember like 8 months ago you were here, I think, and this is your third year of competition?
Yes, it is, correct.
This is the third year, and like always, you know, things 3 years ago, probably they looked completely differently. Right now, 3 years later, people listen to you and they say, wow, so much is going on. Then I am very proud of you and Sam and everybody who is helping to make this competition being a success. And I know how much work all of this costs and time. And it's not like just, oh, I'm putting competition. The world is very, very busy right now, and everybody has things to choose from, and everybody offers everything in on a website to a lot of people, and what to choose, who to go to, who to trust, who to hope, what to hope for. And seems like this year the competition start to be very, very big. Then can you tell us how many, if you can, how many people already signed? Because we need to tell people we still have time. We have 4 weeks before the period and competition will be closed and nobody can anymore submit anything. But yeah, 3 years ago, when you started the competition, how many people signed?
The very, very first year, you mean in terms of entries, how many people entered?
Yeah.
The first year was a small handful. We had about maybe 70 entries the very first year. And the first year we actually only started in Australia. We thought it was going to be, we're going to keep it in Australia for me being from Australia. But we had so many international people enter, so we opened up the international category. And then the second year we just decided to make it an international competition, which last year we had close to maybe 200 200, 300 entries. And this year it's like almost tripled that already. So
wow.
And we've had Reverb Nation are a part of it now. So Reverb Nation, we're also receiving entries through Reverb Nation, which have been, many, many entries coming through there.
And this is like last push. Yes, we need to make people aware. Again, we are talking to Liz Scott, and we are talking about competition that is called Your Music Out Loud in the USA Song Competition 2017. And if people listen, parents or whoever listens and know of artists who just would like to submit a song that is maybe not perfectly done and finished and recorded in the studio, that is in form of the demo, or that this is maybe somebody who is 14 years old and younger who also dreams to become one day professional singer but is already artist and writes, then they could send lyrics, they can also submit their songs, and they don't need to be perfectly done. There could be demo. We call this demo, yes, which is simple, nice, acoustic, just real art can be really discovered very, very easily. We are used to watching all song competition, and we know that the biggest jurors, after 30 seconds, they already know if they have somebody special in their hands. Then please, people, do not worry. You just sing your heart out or send some beautiful lyrics or song and just let the real people, real judges, wonderful group of people who will be judging, to just see if you have a chance and just give yourself the little luck and push and chance. And that's what this competition is about. Again, Your Music Out Loud in the USA Song Competition. And everybody needs to go to website that is, can you tell us? www.club. Yes. Okay, you say.
Yeah, Club Jumpers, spelled with a K. It's clubjumpersmusic.com. I'll spell it again, clubjumpers music.com. You can also go to the www.yourmusicoutloud.com. So we do have an actual website for the prizes page. So
I know. I remember in the beginning we have Club Jumpers, but please, everybody, go to Club Jumpers page and try to understand how amazing producer Sam is, you know, and who he worked with, how big practically everybody, the biggest artist in America, worked with him. And now you maybe will be the lucky one and you will be chosen by him and a lot of jurors, and you know, your song could be produced by him. This is just something very, very special. And it's, you know, why I love you so much and I love Sam so much, because we all are working singers and songwriters and artists and producers. You know, I'm a singer and songwriter too, we both remember how we fought to become ones. Yes. And I was in Poland and I was, you know, submitting myself to a lot of competition, vocal competitions. I got a luck, very big luck. I almost always was number one or number two, which I was winning practically always. That was amazing. But then after a certain amounts of competition, I just decided to study music, and I think that was a very, very good choice for me. But for you, Liz, people need to know, who is Liz Scott? Please, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, well, originally I'm from Sydney, Australia, and I like yourself, I actually entered a competition when I was like 13, and I didn't win, but I got encouraged to submit to record labels, and I actually got signed to BMG at 13. Under an artist development scheme, which they don't really have those anymore. But back then, you know, I couldn't even really write a proper song, but somehow the managing director saw something in me. And for about 5 years, I was signed with them, and I got to work with some of Australia's top writers, songwriters. All my demos were free. I got to learn about the industry, all the, you know, a lot of things. And then I signed with Alberts, which was AC/DC's label, and I was with them for a few years. Then I signed with Rondor, which then became Universal in Australia. As a staff writer, I was with them for 5 years, and I had a platinum number one with a girl group called Bardo. But then I decided I wanted to sing my own songs again, so I just started writing, and I ended up meeting Alan Roy Scott, and then he does these incredible music festivals called Music Bridges, which I went to one in Bali and then Germany, where I met BMI, who are the American sort of broadcasting music in Corp, which they collect all the performing royalties. So they actually signed me directly to New York. I had the director sign me, and he actually flew me to New York, and that's where I got to meet a lot of the labels, and then I ended up signing with a label there. And then I gradually went through all the visas because I had to get the artist visa, and then finally I decided to go independent and started releasing my own songs and working with lots of different producers. And that's when I met the Club Jumpers and Sam. And yeah, and since then I've had quite a few. I had one song that was in the top 50 Billboard for 6 weeks. That was actually my first song released here in the US, called Angel, which I was shocked. I couldn't believe it, my first song released in the US, and that was amazing. And then I had another song called One Foot, which also came number one in the charts here. And then a song called Sweet Love, which is still doing really well out there.
Yay. And that's the song they'll be listening to. And then this is a great, great release story, because shows and proves that, you know, this is not a fast road, fast journey for none of us. Sometimes luck is so amazing and just capture artists in a moment, in right time, and everything is happening very, very fast and soon. But really, I almost don't wish anybody to have very, very fast success, because learning this business, this is something that everybody need to do, and not don't rush people. Please don't rush. If you work hard and you are around the people who are really very creative and believe in you and you believe in yourself, you just do your job. And of course, sign for the our vocal competition, and knowing that Liz Scott, she has her journey, very beautiful one, and I have my own. I still write and compose, and I cannot believe I just got a few beautiful offers from Grammy-winning producers, and I never even asked for it. Just popped up one day in my mail, and now I'm writing songs with very, very cool people. And yeah, life is never ending until we decide to just say dream, bye-bye. Right now, no, dream, welcome, doors open. And we are listening right now to the song that Liz and us love so much, and the title is beautiful, Sweet Love. Okay? see. Beautiful, gentle, heartwarming, beautiful. Wow.
That was produced by Sam Michaels.
So cool. Driven, but also nostalgic and a little reflexive. And it's just sadness, but still, you know, danceable. Just beautiful mixture of emotions. I love it this way.
That one's actually going to be in a movie. It's got placed in a movie called Fly By Night. So just waiting for the release date of that movie. So I'll let you know when that happens.
Yes, we will know. That's congratulations, Liz. Oh my gosh, things are happening so nice and so fast for you both. I'm very, very happy. Where is Sam?
Yes, as many of his clients, sometimes last minute he gets called in to work on someone's hot new single or some new person just comes to town, and he's just got called away to work with a big artist here, as you probably heard the name, DJ Kane. So
Wow. Literally
half an hour before the interview, Dan rang him and said, "We need you in the studio. DJ Kane wants to do a song with you right now." So he had to fly over and do that.
Okay, maybe we are the good luck for him. Dan, you can call every Monday. That's great. People will just call. No accent on. We need him in a studio. Why not? I would love that. That would be so cool. Okay, baby, we have another song, and I think we played the song already. Tiffany from Tiffany Gao. How you spell her? Gao?
Tiffany Gao, yes.
And a really lovely vocalist. I like this song too. It's rocky, but got also different feeling about it. It's called Numb. Very cool title. You will tell us a little bit before we need to say bye-bye for today, but we will talk a little bit. Who is Tiffany? Could you tell us why Tiffany?
She entered the competition last year, and she came sixth place runner-up with her song. This is her entry. She entered last year, called Numb, and since then she's gone on to produce it with Sam. Sam's produced her new single, Broken, and we just released her song over here. So that's already out on iTunes. So Broken's her new single out here, but the song you're about to hear is the entry she entered last year, called Numb.
Wonderful. For right now, I will say goodbye to you, Liz. I'm hoping, when is the last day that everybody can submit their songs?
Okay, so the competition closes August 31st. So the end of August, last day, August 31st. So everybody please enter, because there's incredible prizes. And as you, Alona, and I know, we have Mike Gormley, who's one of the judges, and people like him are listening. Not, you know, it doesn't matter if you don't win, but they're listening through all the people that are coming through, so you never know, you know, what could come from this.
I'm very, very proud. Mike Gormley, he's having own segment on Accent On for many, many months already, and always brings amazing guests. And boy, this gentleman is a walking history of pop music and jazz music. Then I'm very happy to introduce Mike to your competition, and I'm very proud that myself and Mike will be judging last 30 songs. Yes?
Yes, correct.
Exciting.
So thank you so much to you, Alona, for helping us with this competition.
We'll be calling before end of the month one more time, maybe a second or third Monday. I will schedule this conversation with you. For right now, we are talking to Liz Scott. And please, everybody, go to Your Music Out Loud in the USA Song Competition 2017 and submit your talent, submit your song, submit your demos. It will be worth it. And for right now, we are listening to Tiffany Gao, Numb. Thank you, Liz. Say hi to everybody. Bye-bye. Kiss Sam from me. Bye.
Look what I become. All you've left me is numb.
Oh, that's so sad. We are just talking about relationships before the show and after show. It's just this song is so sad. But I hope everything in the end will be okay for everybody, because love, that's all what we need. All what we need is love. Again, thank you, Liz. I will say bye-bye to you one more time. And till next time. Bye, Liz. She's bye-bye already. Okay, cool. Okay, now, we need to, although this song really prepared us very, very well for the topic that we'll be talking about today. Again, what is your name?
Natalia Matusik.
Very close to the microphone.
Natalia Matusik.
Yes, and you're a pretty serious woman, and professional woman, business woman, and being in a very men-oriented, I think, business. The law, when we see on TV, we practically almost always see men. I know you will tell, no, it's like half and half, but what do you think? Is it really guys?
I definitely think when you look at the numbers, it's very equally, it's equal between women and men. But when you look closer as to who actually gets promoted and flourishes in the business, I would say that it's definitely male-oriented. Like, even if you look at the judges, if you look at who's on the bench, you wouldn't find 50% of women. It's going to be more male-oriented. So just because when you go to law school, you see 55% of women, doesn't necessarily mean that's a reflection of how you perform in the legal career once you actually start working.
Wow. You are very honest, and I know that you are not afraid to speak out your mind, and I like that, because it's very easy to please everybody, say, oh, everything is fine, you have great career. I would love people to know how serious career you had and you have in this field. Could you tell us a little bit your life story? Obviously, you have beautiful accent. You have very similar accent to mine. I'm very, very, very proud of us ladies, women who just, especially people who are coming from outside of America, and they can really become somebody who in this discipline, in this really legal, very strong, opinionated business, can make a difference. And I think you're very young and really good looking, great looking lady. You are not afraid to reach for the stars.
I'm glad you think that. I hope so.
Yes, not I hope so, because your history, you can tell us a little bit. You wind up to being prosecutor. That always scares me. The word prosecutor is a very serious stuff.
Well, it was serious stuff. I moved here pretty late. I was in 5 or 10 when I moved here. I was 18, almost 19 years old when I moved here. And I ended up going to UCLA for both undergrad and graduate school. Ended up going to law school afterwards. And a couple of years later, I ended up, after practicing civil litigation briefly, I ended up being a prosecutor in Riverside County for almost 9 years. And I handled a variety of cases. Almost 8.5. But I'm very familiar with the criminal justice system in Southern California.
Wow. I know we spoke before a few weeks ago. Somehow, somewhere, you mentioned that you practically are winning all the time.
I've done dozens of jury trials, and I wouldn't say all the time, but I have about 90% conviction rate, which is pretty high.
Very, very, very high. Yeah. And you mostly were dealing with what type of issues? Family issues? Family law?
I handle a variety of different cases, but about half of the time I spent at the Riverside DA's office was in the domestic violence unit, which made me very familiar just by virtue of dealing with domestic violence cases, made me familiar with family law. Just those two overlap inherently.
And that's what you choose to develop right now, and you have your own...
I have my own practice. I've handled different cases, few criminal cases. Obviously, I'm more than competent to handle a criminal case. However, I've handled family law cases and civil harassment, restraining orders, landlord-tenant cases, real estate, actually, elder abuse.
Okay, then, when people would like to contact you, I have, of course, your website on Accent On page, and our interview can be heard over and over. People can listen to your voice and start knowing you this way, which is, I think, very, very important. The way how we speak to the people, that's how we connect. And I think, in a way, we are selling our talents all the time, and radio is a very, very strong, beautiful ways of really doing that. Then if I bring somebody to studio, I just want people to know them very, very well. You will be coming back to our studio after September. You are going for a long vacation right now. Not long, probably
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
That's pretty long.
In Europe, that's like normal, but in America, 3 weeks, how she can go and leave everything behind. Yes. She's doing this very good for you. But then, you know, we'll be focusing on real issues, real problems. But today we have a topic that you chose for me, and restraining orders. That also sounds so serious and almost scary, because to do that, we are afraid. We are afraid of somebody. And mostly is this restraining orders the ladies are filing for, or also you see men doing that too?
Well, the reason why I chose this subject is because while I discuss it, I can also tell people the difference between three different types of courts, which is a criminal court, a family law court, and a civil court. Every single one of these can issue a restraining order. Different rules apply, different burdens of proof. Obviously, I can't cover every single nuance of the subject during this interview radio show, but I would like the viewers to know that there are obviously different venues to get a restraining order or be served with a restraining order, so that people know if they are served with one, what the legal consequences are, because there are some severe legal consequences, and what they can do, and also how the system works. Because I think when people hear a restraining order, they just assume it's just one thing, which in fact is not the same thing. You can have one issued. So let's start with criminal.
Yeah.
Let's go by one by one. So in a criminal court, you can get a restraining order when you're a defendant. Actually, you can get one when you're a suspect, because what happens when somebody calls 911 and there is an accusation of, let's say, a crime or a domestic violence, what happens, detective or a police officer who responds to the scene calls the judge who's on duty and asks for an emergency protective order. And that order is only good for 5 days. So literally, somebody can call cops on you, whether you're guilty or not, and they call the judge on duty, and the judge issues an emergency protective order, and you are not allowed to go back to your residence, cannot have contact with the person that is seeking the restraining order. That lasts for 5 days, then you have to go to court and actually have a hearing in front of the judge. So that's the shortest restraining order. But in a criminal case, if actually charges were filed against you, if you're in a domestic violence court, the minute you are arraigned, the judge by law issues a criminal protective order. And it's very strict because, of course, there can be two different types. No negative contact, meaning you can have contact with the person, or no contact whatsoever. Once there's a no-contact order issued, you cannot be around the person, you cannot call them, you cannot text message them, you have to stay 100 yards away from them, to the point that, let's say, you are at a restaurant and that person comes in, you have to leave. Hmm. You absolutely cannot own any firearms. If you own any, you have to give them up and then just turn them into a local law enforcement agency. So that's one form of a criminal restraining order. Then, of course, you can have one issued if you're a witness. For instance, it's a gang murder trial and you're a witness in the case and you're very afraid of the defendant you're testifying against. There can be a restraining order issued. Those restraining orders are issued for up to the judge for 3, 5, sometimes 10 years. And then, of course, after somebody has been convicted of a crime, whether it's a domestic violence crime or a non-domestic violence crime, a criminal restraining order is issued. Again, in some cases, the judge has no discretion, has to issue one. In some other cases, there's an argument, an argument in front of the judge as to whether one is warranted or not, and the judge makes the decision. But then we go to family law. In family law essentially is a civil court. So in family law court, people very often ask for restraining orders. Different rules apply, but essentially a restraining order in a family law court resembles a restraining order issued in a domestic violence criminal court. No contact through a third person, stay 100 yards away, no telephonic communication, do not harass, molest this person, you have to give up firearms, etc. But what I find very interesting are restraining orders in a civil court, and those are, and just to let people know, in a domestic violence court, there has to be this relationship. So it's either a spouse, an ex-spouse, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, basically somebody who you've dated or you have cohabited with, you've had some dating relationship, mother, father, in-laws, etc. Some familial relationship. Right. Or if you have kids with someone. But people don't know that you can actually ask for a restraining order against someone who you do not have any relationship with whatsoever. For instance, a person you work with, or a friend of a friend who's been harassing you or has been sending you annoying text messages. And I've done a couple of these trials. They are pretty interesting, actually. A lot of them, of course, involve lots of drama, since a person actually goes to such great lengths as to go to a court, to the court of law, to ask for a restraining order. But once you do get a restraining order, a civil harassment restraining order, and I can tell you what's required for the judge to issue one. Basically, these are the requirements: unlawful violence, like assault or battery or stalking, or a credible real threat of violence, and it has to be end. So the first one is unlawful violence, like assault or battery or stalking, or, in the alternative, a credible threat of violence, and that violence or threat seriously scare, annoy, or harass someone, and there is no valid reason for it. It sounds very boring when you read the letter of
although somebody's live and somebody really needs to protect themselves.
But if I were to give you some examples, from the cases I've given you, it would be...
This cat makes me nervous, and he always brings cat around. Can I restrain him?
It was a little more serious? Comical.
Oh, actually. I want to hear this. Can we talk? Can we talk about stuff like that?
We can talk about... So I had a client who...
Yeah, close the microphone,
please. Basically, got involved with a man who was married.
Yeah.
And his wife, of course, he told my client that he's leaving the wife and, they're done, he's moving out. They basically had a romance or an affair, however you want to call it. And she the wife found out and started threatening my client. So my client filed for a restraining order and ended up going to trial. And this judge ruled she ruled against my client, although gave her at the end of the day a choice. It wasn't totally a loss. It was, hey, you're either going to drop it I'm going to issue a restraining order on both of you. So which she did. But she said, but one of the legal arguments was, well, there was no valid reason for you to be contacting him since he's married. I'm thinking, what? Like, people have affairs all the time. So anyway,
this judge, you know, she's supposed to like make everybody understand that marriage is a marriage. When you date somebody, don't date somebody else. And then don't, of course, when you are married, don't look for another whoever's to have fun with and then pretend like it didn't happen.
That is true.
But life is life. We know, we all understand we cannot make this life perfect. We are looking for perfection and we will find.
That people date in that gray area between being separated and actually being divorced. So anyway, but that wasn't one of those cases. But anyway, what happens when you do have a restraining order issued against you, there are some serious legal consequences. And I think that's the part that people don't really realize, because it goes into what's called CLETS system, C-L-E-T-S. So every single police officer can look it up instantly.
They're aggressive that you have a restraining order against you.
Whether it be a temporary restraining order, a permanent restraining
order. Stays forever, even the 5 days, even the short?
Of course, the emergency protective order is in the system. The temporary one is, you know, it's in the system. But once it expires, it's supposed to, you know, be no longer in the system. However, you know, even when you cross the border, people get stopped and they are questioned about this restraining order. All kinds of legal consequences. When you apply for a job, you need to disclose that you have a restraining order. And I'm only talking about the person who has a restraining order granted against them. I'm not talking about the person who's the protected party, but the person who actually needs to stay away from someone. And it poses various problems because, for instance, like I said before, you have firearm restrictions, background checks. Let's say there is some mistake in the law enforcement database and the restraining order that should have been expired is not expired in the system. You get pulled over and you know, you can get arrested if you're in the vicinity of the person you're supposed to be staying away from. So anyway, my advice to people is, if they are ever served with a restraining order, they shouldn't take it lightly. It's a very serious thing, and if they do get served with a restraining order, don't just let it go, because they have the right to have a full-blown evidentiary hearing before the judge, and that restraining order can be questioned, you know, whether it was not lawfully issued or whether the person was even placed on proper notice, or if they are suspected of violating it, whether it was an actual willful violation of the restraining order.
What about children? Can you also request restraining order against children?
Yeah.
Because you see it on TV over and over, you know, mostly, dads are hurting their own children, trying to hurt wives or ex-wives, and, how you can protect your own child when you know that somebody already hurt you before, and how different is this? Because really what's going on in people's lives, that's in their houses, that's the most troublesome. Mm-hmm. And not everybody is so intelligent and so outgoing and so like, oh, I know what to do.
Right.
You know, they really don't. But we all are scared if something like that happens, that mm-hmm. we need to know that reaching out to a lawyer like you, this will be the bestest a resolution to pick up the phone and just talk to somebody who can describe to us what will be this first step. Or really, you need to do it on the spot if you feel that something's wrong, that somebody's following, that somebody's just over and over writing or scares you.
That's what I want. What do we understand first?
Then we need to call to somebody right away, like 911?
Or just have
a conversation with you?
Depending on the situation, obviously, if you're in danger for your life, you obviously need to call 911. But a lot of the times, people minimize the other person's behavior.
Yep.
And they think, oh, well, it's nothing.
He's angry.
Constant text messaging or phone calls that you do not wish to receive. First of all, it's a crime. You can be charged with a criminal charge of annoying, repetitive communication, either through text or phone. But it's definitely a basis for trying to obtain a restraining order.
Very interesting.
So, you know, I want people to understand that this is not just somebody trying to hurt you physically, but there are other reasons and legal basis for you to get a restraining order to call law enforcement.
Okay. Natalia Matusik is with us in the studio. Today we are talking about restraining orders. From September, we'll be having her more often in the studio. We'll be picking up the part of the law that we just better understand, and family law. We'll be talking family law. And also I would love people to know a little more, Natalia, because, yes, she's very serious a lady, lots of probably sad memories from the court and a lot of also successes because people come back to you. I'm trying to cry, but you are very effective and I like this about you so much. And if people want to contact you, how they can find you?
Well, they can go to my website, matusiklaw.com, matusiklaw.com. They can call me at 310-962-2992. Or email me at info@matusiklaw.com.
Wonderful. And I know that you are a very hands-on lawyer. You will come to somebody if they really, really want to see you. You will make this trip and everybody needs to come to your law firm. How does this work?
I have an office. Well, it depends. I speak to people on the phone initially to gather basic information to assess whether they have a valid case, right, and whether I can actually help them.
Yeah.
I can't help everybody in every single situation. There are some aspects of the law I do not practice, but at least I can point them into the right direction. But I can help them in many aspects of legal.
Can we give people your phone number?
Yes,
your law firm?
I think I just did, but I'll repeat it again. 310-962-2992.
Wonderful. Wow, did you tell this phone number a moment ago?
Yeah.
I need to rewind my show. Wow. Where I was for a second. Okay. Again, thank you so much. This show went so fast. It's already, we are almost done. Then do you think if we want to, as a woman, we don't want to be afraid of what is the legal step to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
How we can get rid of this fear. You understand? It's always the first thing. Okay, I need to call somebody. I need to. But I know we always push away the situation.
We procrastinate.
But when it comes to restraining orders, I think time is mostly now. You know, if you feel nervous and you feel unhappy, it's no time to procrastinate, I think, because this can lead to something much more serious.
Correct. And a lot of violent crimes happen between people who know one another, and a lot of them obviously between former spouses or boyfriend and girlfriend, etc. So if somebody has a fear like this, depending on the facts, if they call me, I can better assist them and I can tell them whether what they have experienced, whether it rises to the level of actually asking for a restraining order or going to the police and filing a police report.
Yeah, because we also need to be very, very careful, because we can ruin somebody's life if we do this and we really not supposed to re-accuse somebody or this
stuff.
And people, I know that people play with people's life. We just need to be very, very careful. But for right now, Natalia, we are done for today. And we'll not see you for a few weeks because we are going to Europe. And I'm so happy for you. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your 3 weeks vacation, and then September you will be back. Yes,
I will. Thank you for inviting me again.
Always. Thank you so much. And for today, bye bye from Ilona Europa and Accent on LA Talk Radio from 6 till 7 p.m. Pacific time.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.